Continuing, narrating the glories of Purushottam months. Sri Goswami told the sages at Naimisharanya that I'm going to tell you another ancient history, pious history, in relation to this glorious Purushottam month. This is the history of Maharaj Haradhanva of the Sun Dynasty. Long ago he was a very pious king. He was the son of Chitradhanva, who ruled the high estate. Haradhanva was famous throughout the world because of his good qualities such as truthfulness, following all the religious principles very strictly. At a very early age, Haradhanva, following the Vedic path, he studied at the lotus feet of his guru, became a learned scholar in the Vedas, the Vedangas, the Upanishads, and after pleasing his guru and giving him dakshina, the proper reward that is required to give to a guru, he returned to his father's palace. His father decided to retire as he was getting old and handed over the kingdom to Haradhanva, and Chitradhanva went to the forest to worship Lord Sri Hari in a renounced mode of life. So then Haradhanva is the king. In course of time, he had a beautiful daughter called Gunasundari and four other reputable sons named Chitravak, Chitrabha, Maniman, and Chitrakundala. So, Haradhanva started to think, I didn't do anything exceptionally pious in this life. Actually, I was pious. But I've got an undisturbed kingdom, beautiful queen, very good, beautiful, obedient sons and a daughter. I can't see what I did that was so pious in the present life to get such a good situation. Maybe I did something in a previous life. So he was thinking like this, and the next day he went in the forest with his army for hunting, as Kshatriyas are supposed to do. And he shot an arrow at one deer who ran into deeper and deeper into the forest. The king also followed that deer, and the king, after following a long way behind the deer, became tired and thirsty, and he was searching for water, and he came across a beautiful pond full of sweet, clear water. He got down from the horse, tied the horse to a nearby banyan tree, drank the water to his full satisfaction, and lay down to take some rest under the tree. As he lay down, he saw a beautiful parrot in the tree, who repeatedly, in Sanskrit verse form, stated that you have got so much material opulence, but because of that, you're not considering about the real need of human life. How will you cross the ocean of material life and get free from the cycle of birth and death? Repeatedly, the parrot said this. And then the king, that went to his heart. He took it very seriously. And he thought this, because he had heard of Shukdev, the parrot who became a great sage, and he thought, well, maybe this is Shukdev, who's being compassionate to me, is now giving me this advice to help deliver me from the material ocean. In the meantime, when all this was going on, because he'd been charging into the forest, his army eventually caught up with him, and the parrot disappeared. And they went back to the palace. But the king kept on thinking about this. What was that? That parrot was saying. What was he saying? Yeah, it's true. I should think about my redemption from birth and death. At this time, the great sage Valmiki arrived at his palace. And the king got up and paid obeisance to the great sage. And Valmiki said to him, you look somewhat morose. You're living in such opulence. What's going on? If there's anything I can do to help, I'll try my best to solve your problems. So King Haridanva felt some relief just by seeing Valmiki and hearing his words, and told him everything that had happened in the forest. And then Valmiki Muni told the king, you see, in the previous life, you see, what was it? You were born in a Brahmin family in Dravida, the southern part of India, on the bank of the holy river Tamrapani. Your name was Sudeva. You were a very pious, truthful, self-satisfied Brahmana. Your wife was the daughter of Gautam Rishi. Her name was Gautami. You followed all the religious principles, everything, but despite living such a meritorious life, you didn't have any child. So one day you explained to your beloved wife your distress, which she was no doubt also feeling, that our human birth is becoming spoiled because we don't have a son to deliver us from hell, from the hell called Put. Son means Putra, one who delivers the parents from the hell, but we don't have. So what's the use of living? I think I'll die immediately. But she told him, no, don't talk like that. You're a Vaishnava. You should have more patience and calmness. Don't get so distraught. Just think of Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the whole universe. You're his devotee. You should worship him and ask him for a son. So Sudeva took her advice, and he performed severe austerities on the bank of the Tamrapani River for 4,000 years. The demigods became fearful upon seeing your austerities, not his austerities, because Valmiki is speaking to Haridanva. This is in his previous life. Seeing the great faith and devotion of this Brahmana, Lord Hari personally appeared before him, riding on his carrier, Garuda. Seeing the Lord in this four-handed form, who is the Lord of all the three worlds, Sudeva became very happy and paid obeisance fully like a stick at the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, Haridanva offered prayers and sat down before Lord Hari, who told Sudeva, you've done great austerities to satisfy me, and I'm satisfied. So now ask some boons. What do you want? Of course the Lord knows, but he asked anyway. And Sudeva said, if you are pleased upon me, dear Lord, then please award me with a qualified son. Lord Hari told him, Sudev, just by seeing your forehead, I could see what's written on your forehead, that because of some previously committed sinful activities, you're not supposed to have a son for the next 7 births. So ask for some other boon. Oh, hearing this, the poor Brahmin fell down on the ground, senseless, like a dry tree that just falls over, lifeless. Gautami, his wife, she also, hearing this, started crying loudly. And then Garuda, the devotee is more merciful than the Lord. So Garuda, seeing this pathetic condition, he asked Lord Hari, "You grant them a son." And Lord Hari said, "Look, I tell you what, I'll empower you and you give them a boon to have a son." So Garuda with his wings fanned the fainted Brahmana Sudeva and told him that, "Following the order of my master, Lord Sri Hari, I'm giving a boon to you that you will get a son very soon who is as qualified as myself, Garuda." Lord Hari then left with Garuda, and soon Gotami gave birth to a son named Shukadev. From his childhood, Shukadev had all good qualities, satisfying his superiors, parents, friends, and guru. He was very well behaved. But once the great sage Devala, effulgent like the sun, came to their place, and Sudev and his wife offered obeisance, offered respects, offered prayers, offered him a seat, and Shukadev also offered obeisance to that great sage. Seeing this nice boy, Shukadev, Devala became very happy, but then, his countenance suddenly changed and he became very grave. And he said that to the parents that this boy has all the good qualities of a great personality, but it's all going to go in vain because there's one disqualification, that at the age of 12 he will drown and die. And he left, Devala left. The Brahmin couple again became unhappy. But remembering the all-merciful Lord Vishnu, they again started going on with their day-to-day routine. And they put that out of their mind. But then one day, when Shukadev was 12 years old, he was bathing in a tank, a man-made pond of water, with his friends. The time factor kicked in. The boy went deep down in the water, drowned. His friends had the unfortunate duty of informing his parents. Oh, they came to the bank of the tank, saw the dead body of their son, and started kissing him and lamenting and saying, Sudev said, "Come on, come on, get up, we're waiting for you. Unless you get up and talk with us, we'll also give up our life. We're not going back to our house, we'll die right here." And saying this, the Brahmin lamenting started chanting the name, "Hari, Hari, Hari." Then, chanting Hari, 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 he and his wife, they're just completely absorbed in misery, and they didn't even notice that a tremendous rainstorm with heavy wind and thunder came, and everything became flooded, but they didn't even notice. They were so burnt with the fire of separation from their son that they just kept on chanting Hari, 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 and they were not aware of time. And in this way, unknown to them, a whole month passed as if it was just a moment. What happened was, just at the time the boy died, the Purushottama month was beginning. And they went on chanting the name of Hari and fasting and staying awake for a whole month. So unknown to them, they'd performed great austerities and performed the greatest religious activity of chanting the name of Hari all through the month of Purushottam. So, when the month ended, the rain finished, and Lord Krishna personally came before them. And he was very pleased with them. They offered him obeisance and said, "You didn't even know, but you observed the Purushottam month. So, because of this, your son Shukadev will live with you for 12,000 years in this material world. Your wish will be fulfilled and will give you all pleasure. And at the end, you with your son will return back to me in Golok Vrindavan." and he said this, Lord Krishna said this, and just at that moment their son came back to life as if he'd been just sleeping. Naturally, Sudev and his wife became very happy. The demigod showered flowers from heaven, and Sukadev, who had been the parrot, has now come again as their son, paid obeisances to his parents, and Garuda became very happy at all of this, and Sudev was just astonished. So he asked Lord Krishna, how is it? What's going on? We can't understand how we got the terrible misfortune of losing our son and the tremendous good fortune of not only getting our son, but getting the darshan of yourself and the benediction that he would live with us for 12,000 years and then we'd all go back to you. So Lord Krishna, who is very kind to his devotees, he's controlled by his devotees, told Sudev, you fortunate one. Don't you know, you don't understand that you are fasting and inadvertently or unknowingly worshipping Purushottamantra, which is most dear to me. With great feeling, out of lamentation, you are chanting my holy name. So in this way you worship me by the Purushottamantra, and that has pleased me so very much. And Lord Krishna said, once Brahma was measuring the value of Purushottamantra alongside all the other pious austerities and religious observances mentioned in the Vedas, but the value of Purushottamantra is more than anything else offered in the Vedas. Therefore, Lord Krishna continued, anyone who observes this Purushottamantra is the most fortunate person in the three worlds, and at the end of his life, he is certain to go back to Godhead, back to me. Krishna said this and went back to his abode on Garuda. So Valmiki told Haradhanva, the king, that, you see, the parrot who advised you in the forest became Sukadev, your son, in your previous life. Sukadev had achieved the perfection of life by the mercy of the Lord, and he was feeling sympathy for you, who was his father in his previous life. Seeing that you are passing a materialistic way of life, he reminded you about your duty to worship the Supreme Lord. You see, the benediction was there that you would come to me, but it's Sudev and Sukadev, but it seems that that was interspersed with another birth. So he took birth in a very pious situation as a king, but then he forgot Krishna, and Sukadev came again as a parrot to remind you. So there's another Purushottamantra coming again, so you better worship Lord Hari following all the rituals, and in that way you'll get back your full consciousness and certainly go back to Godhead. And then Haradhanva asked the king, well, okay, you're talking about observing Purushottamantra and worshipping Purushottamantra, so it's very dear to Lord Krishna. Okay, good. So what do I do? What are the processes to worship this month? Who is the worshipable Lord for this month? Valmiki replied, oh, king, one should get up early in the morning during Purushottamantra, during the Brahma Muhurta. So anyone who's listening to this and doesn't have the habit of doing that, that's one thing you can do, at least during this month, get up early in the morning. Not just get up early in the morning, but think about the Supreme Lord, Hari, who is the Supreme Brahman. You can do that by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So Valmiki continued. You do all your morning duties. You take bath, pranayama, offering prayers to the Supreme Lord with his Krishna, with his consort Sri Radhika, who are the worshipable deities for the Purushottamantra. One should continuously chant Gayatri until the sun rises in the east. Devotees in the present age can do all this by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Valmiki continues telling King Haradanva, offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord, offer him agya, water, flowers, offer all these things to the sun god, who is Surya Narayana. Then, after finishing these duties, one should worship Lord Hari. During this month, one should remain truthful, no lies, no violent actions, should be very peaceful, get some fresh cow dung, mix it with water, make a mandala, a circle with this, and draw an 8-petal lotus flower within that with rice powder. Then within that, place a new pot full of holy waters collected from different rivers, or if that's not possible, you can call all the different tirthas and rivers into the pot by mantra. The water pot preferably should be made of gold, otherwise from silver or copper or even earth, according to the ability of the worshipper. Then all the holy rivers, I can call them, all the holy places, all the holy rivers, call them in, purify me, enter this pot, purify me, purify my body and mind, worship the water pot, which is now the abode of all the holy places and rivers. Worship that with sandalwood pulp and different other auspicious items and flowers. Then above that, place a copper plate, then a new yellow cloth, and then place deities of Radha and Krishna. And those deities should be worshipped with faith and devotion. First of all, they have to be established by prana pratishta. There should be a proper ceremony for worshipping them, for calling them for worship, by calling a properly qualified brahmana to perform a fire sacrifice. Otherwise, without that, the Purana states, the deities will just remain metal. You have to do the proper ceremony. A brahmin who is knowledgeable of all these things should perform all the ceremonies. First of all, chanting the Purusha Sukta, beginning with Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Bhata, all these things you should chant, and then the Vijay Mantra of Purushottam, placing his thumb on his heart. He should chant these mantras to establish the life in the deities, taking a vow that I will live or die for this deity. It's not just a light thing. One has to be very, very serious about this, chanting many other mantras prescribed in the Ajurveda, adding swaha at the end of each mantra in the fire sacrifice. Then, having called the deities of Radha and Krishna, one should meditate upon Lord Purushottam, and then speak like this: Purushottam, I am offering this worthy seat to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The holy water brought by me from different holy rivers, Ganga, etc., is quite fit for worshipping you. So please accept this water for washing the feet. So with this mantra, offer padya, then archivant to the deities, and bathe the deities with panchamrita, milk ghee. Milky yogurt, cow dung water, and cow urine. Panchagavya. After giving archaman, to fulfill one's desires and to attain perfection, one should offer new yellow silken cloth to the deities and pray to Purushottam, please save me from the nescience of ignorance, from the cycle of birth and death. So King Haradanva inquired from Valmiki, what food should one eat during this month? Obviously, if one's performing a vrata, a vow for a month, what one eats is very important to know. It's not that you can just eat anything. So Sage Valmiki told the king, okay, I'll tell you in brief. You should collect wheat, rice, sugar candy, sesame seeds, ginger, green leaves, banana, cucumber, rock salt, butter, ghee, yogurt, mango. You should collect all these things, even collect them in purified consciousness, what to speak of cooking them. Cooking them, don't use oil, use ghee. Definitely no meat, fish, or any such nonsense like that. No mustard, no mustard oil, no intoxication. no such things. Very pure food. He'll prepare food in a purified way, in pure consciousness, clean. Don't cook in an iron pot. Don't speak any nonsense or think any nonsense when preparing prasad. Avoid all kinds of contaminated food. One should not, particularly when observing this vow, one should not blaspheme the demigods or the Vedas or any literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Don't speak badly of the Brahmins, the guru, the cows, or any other person who performs Purushottam Vrata. Don't speak badly of the king or any saintly people. Try your best to please Lord Vishnu by performing various austerities to the best of one's abilities. Follow all the rules that are followed in Kartik and Magh during the month of Purushottam. Otherwise, you can't get the full benefit of performing this Purushottam Vrata. If you can go without any food, so much the better, but otherwise, you can take ghee or some milk by begging. Otherwise, simply eat fruit, nothing else, according to your capacity to observe and follow it. And of course, in this Kali Yuga, we don't have much capacity for all these things. The best thing to do is chant Hare Krishna. And austerity, we can take some extra austerities, take our sadhana much more seriously. Austerity, best austerity is go out and distribute Prabhupada's books if we're in a city. If we can do in this lockdown period. Also, one should stick firmly to the vow. Don't break it. Do it from beginning to end. Worship the Lord with one lakh of tulsi leaves. If you do that, you can get an unlimited merit, unlimited pious result, unlimited success, which even Lord Brahma cannot describe. By performing Purushottam vows in this way, one achieves more glories than performing 100 horse sacrifices. Those who perform the Vedic karma kanda, materialistic kind of sacrifices, they can go to Swargaloka, heaven, but the worshipper of Purushottam mantra goes to Golok Dhamma, the place of the Supreme Lord Krishna. All the holy places in the world come to... You don't have to go to them. They will come and live in the body of someone who observes this vow. Then King Haridanva asked, what benefit does one get by offering a lamp to Lord Purushottam in this month? Valmiki gladly replied, by telling another story of a king named Chitrabahu, who ruled over the kingdom of Bhagyanaga. He was a great devotee of Krishna, and he was decorated naturally with all good qualities like truthfulness, nonviolence, forgiveness, kindness to the poor, worshipping saintly people and brahmanas, knowing all the religious principles and observing them. Once the great sage Agastya came to his palace. Seeing him coming, the king paid a obeisance from a distant place, and then when he arrived, he gave him a nice place to sit. And then the king said, worshipped him and said, my life is successful that a great sage, a great devotee of Krishna has entered my palace. And in all ways, the king tried to please the sage. And then the king asked Agastya Muni, you see, the same question that Haridanva asked. So he's being replied by giving another history. The king told the sage in my present life, I'm enjoying an undisturbed kingdom. I have a beautiful, nice, chaste wife, sons and daughters. What did I do in my past life as a result of what I'm enjoying in the present life? Agastya said, actually, in your last life, you were a cruel atheist of very bad character. Your name was Manigriva, but your wife, who is your present wife also, she was very good. She was very pious and religious and chaste and beautiful and always trying to please you, notwithstanding your bad character. But no one liked you due to your cruel behavior. everyone cut off relations with you, and even the king of the country, he was so fed up with you, he exiled you, took everything away from you, your wealth, your property, and exiled you from society, and so you had to go and live in the forest, and your chaste wife followed you. You had to live like a forest hunter. So one day you were out in the forest with your bow and arrows to kill some animals to eat, and you came on the forest path, you came across a person collapsed unconscious on the ground. He was actually a Brahmin sage by the name of Ugradev. And seeing him, maybe for the first time in his life, this Manigriva felt some pity and some mercy arise in his heart. What had happened, this Ugradev was going on the forest path to Prayag, but due to fasting and the terrible heat of the sun, he fell down unconscious. So Manigriva brought him back to the small cottage in which he and his wife lived and fanned him, brought him back to consciousness, gave him some water to drink, threw water on his forehead to revive him. And then the sage was looking around saying, how did I get here? Then Manigriva explained everything, he offered fresh water to the sage, and he was very pleased. And he understood that this man, he's living like a hunter, but he's obviously from a more sophisticated background. And he asked, "What are you doing, suffering like this in the forest? Tell me about it all so I can find some way for your good fortune." And Manigriva explained everything. And Ugradev said, "You will become famous in this world because you have served me so nicely as your guest. So to eradicate your previous sinful reactions, I'm going to explain to you the most simple and easy way by following which you will attain all good fortune. And you can guess what it is." Ugradev said, "After 3 months, Purushottam month is coming. So to please the Supreme Lord Purushottam, you can, living here in the jungle, you can't do much. You simply offer a lamp to him every day. The best way to do it is with a ghee lamp, but as you're in the forest, you can't get ghee, so you can offer a lamp made from the oil of sesame seeds, till. By doing this every day, all your misfortune will vanish at its very roots." So saying this, Ugradev left for Prayag, chanting the name of Krishna. So Manigriva and his wife did it when Purushottam months came, throughout the months. And after some time, they had to die. They died. They went to Swarga Loka. Just because they'd done that, offered a lamp to Purushottam during the month of Purushottam. After many, many years in the heavenly planets, they came back again in the material world and achieved a very glorious position in society as Chitrabahu and his wife. "That's you," Agastya told them. And not just you, Agastya said. "Anyone who offers a ghee lamp to the Lord gets unlimited merit. What to speak of doing it, especially in the month of Purushottam, even an oil lamp. Such great merits come by offering a lamp to the Lord." So Agastya was very pleased with the king, blessed him, and left that place. Then, getting back to King Haradanva, he asked Valmiki, "Oh, saintly Brahmin, tell me how, because to follow a vrata, you have to break the vow in the proper way also. What are the proper rules and regulations one should follow?" And Valmiki replied, "You can break your worship and vows on the 14th day, 9th day, or the 8th day of the dark fortnight, early in the morning, one should get up and perform morning duties, invite 30 qualified brahmanas and give them charity according to one's ability. If not possible, you could invite 7 or 5 brahmanas according to one's capacity. This is a very good thing to do. We don't have this culture so much in the Western world, at least, that now we have Brahmins in the Western world. Invite them, feed them, give them prasadam. Of course, not just call them, but then you have to make again a mandal with cow dung and water, new pots, placed in 4 directions. So then I'll skip through it. It's quite technical, all the different things that one has to do. But the main thing is one should engage the brahmanas in worship. You call them for prasadam, but they should also be engaged to worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Not that they just come and eat, but they should chant the holy names and worship Lord Krishna along with Radhika, Shamasunda, along with Radhika. Worship them with flowers and ghee lamps and give the invited brahmanas a pot full of gold and silver. Well, that's not very likely, but something should be given to them. Not very likely in the present day. And various things, clothes, ornaments, shoes can be offered to them. And the best kind of charity, Valmiki says, is to offer Srimad Bhagavatam to a qualified brahmana. By offering Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Lord Purushottam, by offering that to a Vaishnava, one can deliver his forefathers beginning from 1 crore back. They all go to Goloka Vrindavan and are happy there with Lord Purushottam. Then how to avoid, Valmiki describes how to avoid offenses committed during the Purushottam months. Again, you have to feed the brahmanas, present them with gold, there may be some discrepancies in performing the activities, but nevertheless, one should do that. If there's any discrepancies, by pleasing the brahmanas at the end of the month, one should get free from that. Of course, we find in the Bhagavatam that Shukracharya says to Vamanadeva that if there are any discrepancies in a yagya, by chanting the holy names, all the discrepancies can be overcome. So after telling all these details, Valmiki left the place, and the king and the queen, inspired to live a more spiritual life, left for the forest, living in a very simple way, and they performed the Purushottam Vrata. And at the end of that month, an airplane came from the spiritual world and took the king and the queen back to Godhead, back to Golok Vrindavan. So now getting back to Narayan Rishi telling Narada, Narada, in this world there's nothing equal to the Purushottam months. If you perform severe austerities for 1,000 births, that's not even comparable to worshipping Purushottam months. Now I'll tell you another story. Narayan Rishi tells you. It's a historical story about a monkey who was delivered from the material world and went to Goloka simply by taking holy bath for 3 days and nights in Purushottam months. The sins of his previous 1 crore of lifetimes were destroyed. Lord Narayan said, in Kerala, there was a brahmana called Chitra Sharma, but he was not a good brahmana. He was very greedy and cruel, and people used to call him Kadarya. Kadarya means abominable. He was exiled from the village and went to live in the forest. There he met a very good person who was a gardener by profession, and he lived with his gardener. After some time, that gardener, he wanted to visit some holy places, so he went away for some time and he asked Kadarya to look after the fruit garden. The gardener was very simple, and he trusted Kadarya, but what happened, Kadarya started eating and spoiling all the best fruits in the garden and started taking everything very greedily and unthinkingly. And when the gardener returned, he said, "What happened to the garden?" He said, "Oh, you see, all these monkeys and birds have destroyed all the best fruits." He cheated, he lied, he died soon thereafter. And due to his sinful activities of destroying the fruit garden and cheating his friend, he became a monkey. Though, even though he was very sinful, he had happened to see in his previous life a concluding ceremony of Purushottam month, when one pious Vaishya was observing that, and this Kadarya happened to be present when this Vaishya was performing the concluding ceremony. What had happened? Kadarya wanted to get some money. Vaishya means rich, so he wanted to get something from that Vaishya. So he made a show of being pious and sat in on that ceremony so he could get something, posing as a pious brahmana. So due to that merit, even though he was due to get the body of a monkey, he got the body of a monkey. He got a body of a monkey in a holy place on the bank of a sacred lake known as Mrigatirtha. That place, Mrigatirtha, had been blessed by Lord Ram, because it was a very beautiful place. The water in the lake was very sweet, healthy. The place was beautiful and pious due to the boon of Lord Ramachandra, who was, after conquering Lanka, coming back, he gave this place. You monkeys, you like fruit? Okay, take this place. So it was. This was the place where this Kadarya, born as a monkey, was born. But this not only was this Kadarya born as a monkey, but he was suffering from various diseases practically from the beginning of his life. Blood was coming out of his mouth, so he couldn't eat anything. He'd destroyed that fruit garden, now he couldn't eat anything. This is the result of sinful activities. But he was a monkey, so due to his nature, he would jump from one tree to another, tear off some fruits, throw them down. Purushottam month came. What does a monkey know about Purushottam month? Nothing. But during this month, the monkey's suffering increased. He couldn't eat anything. He could eat very sparingly, but as his disease was increasing, he couldn't eat anything. So he was fasting forcefully in this month, and while jumping from one tree to another, he fell down in weakness. He fell down into the lake, and after just being in that lake for 5 days, he couldn't sustain any more in the water and drowned and died. And then a celestial aeroplane took him, and he went to Goloka in a very beautiful spiritual body and lived there happily. And the demigods, seeing this, they glorified Purushottam. You see, even a sinful monkey, without even knowing anything about Purushottam, observed it in a holy place. And he went back to Godhead. Narada asked, "O Lord, you have explained previously about the first part of the day of Purushottam month. What about the rest of it?" So Lord Narayan Rishi said, "After finishing his noon duties, one should wait for guests at a door. Any guest who comes, atithi, uninvited, anyone who comes when the householder is engaged in milking his cows should worship him, give him charity according to his ability. After satisfying the guest, he may then take his meal, some various other austerities, how one should eat prasad in a purified, peaceful state of mind. While taking prasad, don't discuss any material things or speak badly of anyone. Engage yourself throughout the months in always hearing about Krishna from a pure devotee, meditate on Krishna, discuss his pastimes with devotees. So in this way, the second part of the day, when the evening comes, take bath, perform evening duties, evening prayers, offer some oblations into the fire, then take something, some prasad, and then go to bed thinking of Krishna. The Grihastha should perform his home duties in a truthful and peaceful manner. No violence of any kind, no verbal even, no merciful to the poor, kind to the saintly people, protect animals. These are some of the important principles for Grihasthas to follow. Then Narada asked, for our benefit, he's asking for the benefit of the world, please describe something about a chaste woman and how she could help her husband in performing the Purushottam Vrata. Narayan said, "Oh Narada, just listen, I'm going to describe some of the good qualities of a chaste woman. What she should do. Whether her husband is good or bad, beautiful or ugly, healthy or diseased, mild or angry in nature, even if he's a drunkard or illiterate, what to speak of his, if he's well-educated, a woman who is known as chaste should always try her best to give all pleasure to her husband and satisfy him in all respects. She should properly respect her husband and other superiors, like mother-in-law, father-in-law. She should cooperate with him in all kinds of religious and pious activities. From the daily expenses, she should save some money for future emergencies. She should be very intelligent and diligent in performing her daily duties and dealing with the family members. She should not even give charity to anyone or even to her relatives or any other person without the knowledge of her husband. She should never speak to any man apart from her husband in a secluded place. For the chaste woman, Narayan says, there is no more worshipable person than her husband. By worshipping her husband and pleasing him, she achieves all perfections. And then he went on to explain, Narayan went on to explain, to finishing the vow, saying that Parvati, being advised by her husband, Lord Shiva, once observed Purushottam Vrata. She asked, what's the best thing to give in charity to conclude the worship of Purushottam month, the vow? Lord Shiva replied that one should take 30 malpurs, that's a kind of sweet, in a bell metal pot, bind the pot with 7 new threads, place the pot in a proper place, everything according to Shastra, and then give 30 such bell metal pots full of 30 malpurs to brahmanas, if you can afford it. If you can't, just give a few to proper brahmanas. Goddess Parvati became very happy and did that. So Suta Goswami, remember, getting back to Naimisharanya, this all started, all this narration started in Naimisharanya. So getting back to Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami says to Shonaka and the rishis, in this way, Narad became pleased by hearing all these things about Purushottam month from Lord Narayan Rishi. He offered his obeisances repeatedly to Narayan and said, oh, I'm very pleased to hear about this Purushottam month, the best of all months. It was considered the worst, now it's considered the best. It's the best of all kinds of vows and austerities. Just by hearing about the glories of Purushottam month, one can achieve, with faith if one hears about that, one can achieve devotional service to the Supreme Lord Purushottama. All of the sinful reactions will be immediately nullified, and one who performs the whole vrata and worships Purushottam months with great faith, then he definitely goes back to Godhead and gets all bliss, all glory, everything. So Nara told. Narayana, I'm fully satisfied in my heart. I'm blissed out. That's enough for now. Because Narada also has to go off and preach to everyone, right? And that's how these stories get in the Padma Purana. And we can explain them also. So Suta Goswami took permission from the assembled sages to continue his journey toward the Ganga for taking bath. He paid obeisances to all the assembled brahmanas who had heard from him. And then the sages of Naimasharanya spoke among themselves, "Oh, this Purushottam month is the most glorious. It is an ancient history. It fulfills all the desires of a devotee, just like its desire tree." And thus ends the narration of the glories of Purushottam month from the Padma Purana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.